So I mistakenly left something off the bulletin, and I'm going to read at least one sentence here from the contemporary testimony, which is about Scripture. Pastor Henry asked if I would pick up the contemporary testimony again. We've been going through it the last while. And this part on Scripture actually has a few paragraphs, but I want to read just this one. The Bible is the Word of God, record and tool of His redeeming work. It is the Word of truth, fully reliable in leading us to know God and have life in Jesus Christ. Fully reliable. That's the fun word. To trust someone. To trust someone with your love, your heart. To trust someone with your secrets. To trust someone with what you value most dearly. To trust someone is big. It's a gift of making yourself vulnerable to this other person, open to the beauty and the strength and the tenderness of intimacy, and open to the risk of being hurt, betrayed. It's not just about entrusting someone else with what is deeply and preciously mine so that we're giving trust. Trust is also in play when we are on the receiving end. So when someone says something to me, can I trust what she says? When someone reports news, can I trust what I read? When someone makes a promise to me, can I trust that he will keep that promise? Trust. Trust has to do with relationships, doesn't it? Trust has to do with things that I can't completely control. Trust has to do with how well I think I know something or know someone. Trust has to do with whether I believe there is integrity there, honesty. Believing that in this person with whom I am engaging, there is a spine, a backbone, and a heart. Trust is hugely important for life together in this world. Trust is really important for any friendship. Trust is really important for any marriage relationship. Trust is really important in any church, in any denomination. Trust is really important not just for these things. Trust is important for life in a community, a city, a country. Trust comes up in politics, doesn't it? We roll our eyes when we hear promises. Trust comes up when we drive our vehicles all the time. Trust. It's invisible. You can't see it. Trust is untouchable in that sense. You can't grab it or measure it or hold it. But trust is a quality you need to flourish in life. And when there is trust, it is good. And you know it. And when it's not there, its absence is a loss. Its absence is a grief. Because without trust, fear of others and suspicion of others, distance from others, they carry the day. Well, I've started the message today talking about trust. Because whenever we open the Bible, trust is front and center. Trusting in God's promises, trusting that Jesus really is the one in whom I am right with God. Trust. Even more than just what the Bible says inside of it, take a step back and ask yourself the question, trust. Well, what is this book? We read from it every Sunday, and maybe more often. The words of this book, the story that it tells, how is it we say that this book is the Word of God? It is what we say. We have these old documents, these confessions, right? The Belge Confession, the Canons of Dort, the Heidelberg Catechism, and also in this more recent testimony of ours, Our World Belongs to God, we say this Bible, this book is not just any old book. How so? You know, it was written over a very long period of time, this book. It was written over hundreds of years, perhaps more than 1,000 years. By a whole number of different people, dozens of different people, different places, different settings, different circumstances, different cultures, times, and yet this book written by all those different people over all those years, this book tells one story. Two testaments, old and new, we say, but one grand story in which God reveals himself in relationship to this world and to we people in this world. It's a story that centers in the person of Jesus, the Savior and the Lord. And this story shouts out, in Jesus, this story shouts out, God can be trusted. He keeps his promises. In Jesus, everything that is revealed in this one long story, in Jesus, everything comes into sharp focus. It reveals God's heart. It reveals God's purpose. And suddenly, everything that you know and see and hear about Jesus helps us hear things right from the beginning and all the way to the end. And you know, all by itself, that's a miracle, all by itself, that this book written over so many years and by so many people, this book tells one story. And it's so integrated and so interwoven, no matter which part of it you read, you start hearing echoes that reverberate. It's a miracle all by itself. But it's not just a random miracle. No, we say it's actually much deeper than that. It's the claim the Bible makes for itself. Paul, in his letter to Timothy, Paul says, Scripture, all Scripture, and he, of course, at that point is just thinking about the Old Testament, but he says, all Scripture is God-breathed. God breathed. The official word, the doctrinal word, the theology word, is inspiration. We hold this book in high esteem because we believe it's inspired. It's God breathed. God breathed. You know, Peter writes a letter, and it's in the Bible as well, and it says, Peter says, he says, men, people, they spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. When I hear the words God breathed, I picture God blowing into a person. His spirit wind into the heart and mind of people who were writing. And when I hear the words carried along by the Holy Spirit, I think about wind, and if you have a strong wind, the way it's actually able to carry things along. as if they didn't weigh a thing. But what exactly does it mean to say God breathed? How exactly does this actually work? It's a huge mystery. It really is. It's a wonder. And there's not a soul that can spell it out exactly. But it is what the Bible claims for itself. And part of the mystery here is that when we open this book and read it, somehow the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of God that was breathed into the writers long ago, that carried them along so long ago, when we read the Scripture today, this Holy Spirit convinces us that this book and the story it tells, it's true. This book tells a story that rings true, that resonates. It convinces us. Crassly put, the Bible sells itself. Reverently put, the Holy Spirit bears testimony to our spirits and convinces us that it's the truth. And this story, it gives us then a framework, a huge framework, an umbrella that reaches all the way back to the beginning and all the way forward to a new creation. And in between, it reveals about God, about God's heart, about a love that is so deep it will endure suffering like you can't imagine. A story that centers in Jesus. Birth, death, resurrection, ascension. It gives us a framework and it gives us an anchor. And within that framework and with that anchor, there is meaning and comfort and hope. Can I prove that the Bible is the Word of God? Can I prove in some scientific, measurable way that the story the Bible tells us is true? I can't. I just plain can't. But I trust it. I do. We trust it. This is the work of the Holy Spirit in us. This is the work of the Holy Spirit in the church through the ages. Well, all this talk about the Bible and the dynamic of trust, you know what's pretty fabulous? That when Paul tells us what he does in this letter to Timothy, when he says that the Bible is God-breathed and that it's useful for all kinds of things, training, correcting, teaching, rebuking, to lead us to salvation in Jesus Christ. When Paul says that, he's actually building the case for what he's saying to Timothy in this letter, and it's all about trust. You know, some of you will actually remember when Canada Post delivered more than just flyers. I know it's a long time ago. But we used to get letters in the mail sometime, and a letter might have a few pages, right? A letter is actually a communication. It's an email that actually goes through Canada Post. But let's imagine you got a letter. 3-4 pages. You would not open that letter and read a couple sentences right from that one page and then say, wow, that's interesting. And then put it away, would you? You'd read the whole thing. I hope you'll take time to read the whole letter of 2 Timothy today or maybe tomorrow, sometime this week. You don't just have to trust that what I'm telling you now is fair, but check it out for yourself. Read the whole letter. And what we're going to discover then when you look at the whole letter is that actually Paul is building a case that is built on trust. It goes like this. Paul is near the end. He's in prison in Rome. And he was the senior pastor and Timothy was the junior pastor, and Paul was like a mentor to Timothy. And Paul wants to encourage Timothy to hang in there, to keep the faith, to use his gifts to get in there and preach and be consistent and don't give up on the gospel. Believe it, believe it, believe it. He says, Timothy, listen to me. Hear my encouragement. Follow through. You can trust me because, why? Because you know me. You know my story. You know my teaching. You know my way of life. You know my purpose, my faith. You know all the things that I have endured. And you know that I'm here now in prison in Rome in a cell. And it's because I stuck to my guns. The center of what I believe is what I believe about Jesus. And my trust in Jesus, that's what's cost me. So, what you've heard from me and what you've seen in me, please carry on. You can trust that my encouragement is worth acting on because you know me. You know my situation. You know my person. That's one. Then, he says, don't forget. It's not just me, but don't forget, you learned this gospel, and you saw this gospel, and you experienced a life of faith in your mother, Eunice, and in your grandmother, Lois. The story they believed and the God whose revelation in Jesus Christ they trusted, keep on trusting as they did. Trust that what they taught you is real and true and worth trusting. You can trust them because you know them. You know their life. You know their stories, their situations, their persons. And then, Paul says, beyond himself, and beyond a mother and grandmother, Paul says, trust what you read in the scripture because behind all of the dozens of people in all those different times and places and cultures and circumstances, behind all of those people is someone whom you can trust. It's God-breathed, he says. That long written scripture from all those different places and people. Behind it all is God. You know his story. You know the promises he made and fulfilled. You know his story, the integrity of his love revealed ever so clearly in the person of Jesus. And when you know who you're dealing with, then you know if you can or even should trust that person, don't you? I mean, at one level, all you can do with the Bible and its claim to be the Word of God, all you can do is trust it upon the urging of the Holy Spirit because you can't prove it. But on the other hand, it's not just all you can do. It's what you gladly do. It's what you willingly do. Full of wonder and full of humility, when you are confronted with a revelation of God, who is the Creator and the Savior and the one who is intent on making everything new, and when it grabs you, and when it holds you, and won't let you go, even though you sometimes struggle and doubt and stew about this or that or the other thing. Well, knowing the person behind this book, knowing his story, knowing the suffering love, the persistent and gracious tenderness that is there, the concern for the hurting, the outcasts, the powerless, and those who defied his enemies. Knowing the person and the story and experiencing his grace for yourself, forgiven sinner that you are, that I am. Well, yeah, this book and this God is trustworthy. In fact, we trust it so much, we call the Bible infallible. Another one of those doctrinal words, infallible. The contemporary testimony that I read from doesn't use the word infallible, but it uses the two words, fully reliable. In other words, trustworthy. We aren't going to quibble now about the translation of every single word or pretend that everything in the Bible is easy to understand and clear as a bell. So often, it's easy to get sidetracked, arguing about this or about that. It's easy to do that because there are lots of pieces in the Bible story that are hard to understand and hard to sort through. It's hard work dealing with all of it. The main thing, the heart of the Bible story, that's clear enough. It's the revelation of the heart of God. That's the key. And everything in the Bible, everything, is related to, supports, needs to be understood in light of the main thrust of the Scriptures. What we say in our confessions is that inspiration is tied directly to the purpose of Scripture, which is to say, when we think about the inspiration, the God-breathedness of the Scriptures, that ties first and foremost to the purpose of the Scriptures, which is to help us see Jesus, to trust Jesus, because when we see Jesus for who he is, and when we trust in Jesus, the Savior and Lord, then we are able to trust in the God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit altogether. God is trustworthy, and so is his book. And this trustworthiness has been true through long ages. It was true already when we were convinced that playing cards were from the devil. It was true through days when we frowned on dancing. It was true through the days when we policed, literally, attendance at movies. Never could our great-grandparents imagine the screen time that we all have at our fingertips today. The trustworthiness of Scripture has been true through long ages, through days when we drew much different lines about Sunday and what we were allowed to do and what we're not allowed to do, through days when we turned a blind eye to slavery and even justified it, through days when elders on Communion Sunday would wear white shirts like this one, even though on other Sundays they felt free enough to wear colored shirts. I remember that. The Bible has been trustworthy through long ages, through days when women were compelled to wear hats and veils to church, through days when a job that included Sunday hours would not be tolerated or excused, through days when pregnancies outside of marriage were confessed publicly by young females and only sometimes by the fathers. There have been so many controversies about such a range of complicated matters, sometimes our heads spin and we're overwhelmed with challenges and pressures, and I am too sometimes. And it's important to remember then. It's not just important, it's wonderful to remember the good news of God breathed. Even when we have a hard time sorting out how this or that or the other thing fits into the story that Scripture tells, one thing we are utterly confident about, we trust. We trust because this is what the story tells us. We trust that this world is God's world. He loves it. And he loves us. And he has set his heart on redeeming and renewing all of it. This is what the story that centers in Jesus tells me, assures me. And I need that assurance because I can't fix it. I can't claim purity. I can't claim to have proof of anything. But I trust what the Holy Spirit has convinced me of. And as I trust that story, and as we trust that story, you and me, we together, we can look at each other because of Jesus, one humbled, thankful, forgiven sinner to another, and trust each other enough in the middle of any muddle to hear each other well, to listen carefully, to learn from each other, and to love each other, and to say, Jesus, even if I don't, even if we don't have it all figured, I do trust, we trust, that you are making everything new. I'd say more, but I trust that the Holy Spirit will accompany the word and work in our hearts to stir, to correct, to train, to rebuke, to lead us in faith, and to be held by the center of the story. Let's pray. Oh Lord, it's such a gift, the scriptures. Thank you. It's an amazing thing to have this record of your work in this world, your attitude towards this world, your holding it all in hand. To have this record of you opening your heart and showing us who you are in Jesus, trusting that with us, even though you are not guaranteed how well we will receive it. Lord, we want to offer trust back. And so bless the work of your Spirit in our hearts so that we may honor what you have given. Hear our prayer. Bless us in the ways that we need. For Jesus' sake. Amen.